ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th, Chapter The Glories of Lord Ananta, Text 8. Because it is in prose. Ya esha eva manushruto dhyayamano mumukshu namanadikala karma vasana grathitam vidyamayam hrudaya granthim सत्वरजस्तमोमयम् अनंतहृदयम् गत आशु निर्भिन्नति तस्यानुभाव भावान् भगवान् स्वायंभुवो नारदः सह तुम्बूरुणा सभायां ब्रह्मणः संश्लोकया मास। विल रीड द वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। यः हु एषः दिस वन एवं दस अनुश्रुतः बीइंग हर्ड फ्रॉम अ बोनाफाइड स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर ध्यायमानः बीइंग मेडिटेटेड अपॉन मुमुक्षुणां of a person's desiring liberation from conditioned life, anadi from immemorial, kala time, karma vasana by the desire for fruitive activities, grathitam tied tightly, avidyamayam consisting of the illusory energy, hrudaya granthim, the knot within the heart, sattva raja tamaha mayam, made of the three modes of material nature, antahrudayam, in the core of the heart, gataha, situated, आशु वेरी सून निर्भिन्नति कट्स तस्य ऑफ संकर्षण अनुभावान द ग्लोरीज भगवान द ग्रेटली पावरफुल स्वयंभुवः द सन ऑफ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा नारदः द सेज नारद सह अलोंग विद तंबूरुणा द स्ट्रिंग्ड इंस्ट्रूमेंट कॉल्ड अ तुम्बूरा स्वयं सभायाम इन द असेंबली ब्राह्मणः द लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा संश्लोकयम् आस described in verses. The translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. If persons who are very serious about being liberated from material life hear the glories of Anantadev from the mouth of a spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession, and if they always meditate upon Sankarshan, the Lord enters the core of their hearts, vanquishes all the dirty contamination of material modes of nature, and cuts to pieces the hard knot within the heart, which had been tied tightly since time immemorial by the desire to dominate material nature through fruitive activities. Narad Muni, the son of Lord Brahma, always glorifies Anantadev in his father's assembly. There he sings blissful verses of his own composition, accompanied by his stringed instrument, or a celestial singer known as Tumburu. Purport. None of these descriptions of Lord Anantadev are imaginary. They are all transcendently blissful and full of actual knowledge. However, unless one hears them directly from a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession, one cannot understand them. Yesterday was done 7th or 6th? 7th? Because this description of Lord Anantadev comes in text 7, which has no purport. So, I'll just read the translation which Prabhupada is mentioning. The Shukadeva Goswami continued, this is the text 7. The demigods, the demons, the Urugas, serpentine demigods, the Siddhas, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, and many highly elevated sages constantly offer prayers to the Lord. Because he is intoxicated, the Lord looks bewildered, and his eyes appearing like flowers in full bloom, move to and fro. He pleases his personal associates, the heads of the demigods, by the sweet vibrations emanating from his mouth. Dressed in bluish garments and wearing a single earring, he holds a plow on his back with his two beautiful and well-constructed hands. Appearing as white as the heavenly king Indra, he wears a golden belt around his waist, and a Vaijayanti garland of ever-fresh tulasi blossoms around his neck. Bees, intoxicated by the honey-like fragrance of the tulasi flowers, hum very sweetly around the garland, which thus becomes more and more beautiful. In this way, the Lord enjoys his very magnanimous pastimes. So this is the description of the Lord. There, purport Prabhupada writes, none of this description of Lord Anantadev are imaginary. They are all transcendentally blissful and full of actual knowledge. However, unless one hears them directly from a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession, one cannot understand them. This knowledge is delivered to Narada by Lord Brahma, and the great saint Narada, along with his companion Tumburu, distributes it all over the universe. Sometimes the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as Uttama Shloka, one who is praised by beautiful poetry. Narada composes various poems to glorify Lord Ananta, and therefore the word Samshlokayam Asa, praised by selected poetry, is used in this verse. The Vaishnavas in Gaudiya Sampradaya belong to the disciplic succession stemming from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the spiritual master of Narada. Narada is the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam as a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, all devotees in Gaudiya Sampradaya accept the activities of Lord Ananta related in the Srimad Bhagavatam as authentic, and they are thus benefited by going back home, back to Godhead. The contamination in the heart of a conditioned soul is like a huge accumulation of garbage created by the three modes of material nature, especially the modes of rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. As confirmed herein, unless one receives transcendental knowledge in disciplic succession, there is no question of his being purified of this contamination. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaishyam Dadatiswa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣೀ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೋರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಆನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ, ಐ ವುಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ಸೀಕ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್, ದ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್, ಸೊ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಎಲಿವೇಟೆಡ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. Although I don't have any personal qualification, so here in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, as we are, like last few days we are going through, this new chapter started as the glories of Lord Ananta. So this, now the more glories of Anantadev are described in next few shlokas, but as Prabhupada starts the purport with understanding that these glories of Anantadev, they are not like mythology exactly, Prabhupada writes, none of these description of Lord Anantadev are imaginary. So, and we can hear them from the disciplic succession, then only we understand them as it is. Otherwise it is not possible. So being just close to the appearance of Lord, the Revati Nandan, the Revati Ramana, which gives pleasure to Revati, and who is known as the bigger brother of Lord Krishna. Balaramji is going to appear after few days. So to start with, yesterday only we were hearing one very beautiful pastime of Lord Balaramji. How Balaramji kills Pralambasur, who comes in the form of small coward boy, and we are hearing that how in the Krishna Leela, that is the eternal truth, actually facts, at the same time we understand the lessons from it. That similarly the Maya also takes different forms which are so difficult to even perceive. Like this coward boy, he was exactly looking like any other ordinary coward boy. But then his intention was to create a great harm. His intention was to kill Krishna, and for that first he made such a situation where he separated Lord Balaram and Krishna, because he knew that it will be difficult to handle them together. So he carried Balaram and went into the forest. That was the punishment. And all other gopas also were doing like that. But this special gopa was not stopping only. Although the line of stopping came, he was continuing, running. And then After some time, he started increasing in size also. So one devotee was explaining that something like we are going on a bike and suddenly bike starts, you know, expanding, and you think, you know, are sitting on top of some mountain. So it was not very difficult for Balaramji to, you know, understand this is a demon. And immediately he, with just one fist of his, the head of the Pralambasura was cracked into pieces. So Balaramji represents the Guru Tattva, which teaches us that some of the demons which are represented by different you know, anarthas, different qualities, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this understanding to all of us. Some of the anarthas, some of the demons, they can be killed only by the blessing and instructions of Guru Parampara, you know, spiritual master. So specifically this demon represents the material desires which takes us away from Krishna, away from devotees, and they can be vanquished only by the grace of Lord's devotees. And here Prabhupada writes that none of these descriptions of the Lord Anantadev are imaginary, because that is one of the greatest, you know, covering which Maya puts on living entities, that even after knowing, even after hearing, she makes sure that living entities will not take it seriously. Because just recently, one of our VTA devotees, you know, early in the morning he got a call that his brother left his body. So immediately he took a flight, went to, you know, his home, and then he performed the final rites, and the next few days he was staying at home, and then as usual, that is a custom that they read from Garuda Puran, because there are a lot of description of how the soul goes from body to next body, and then what happens. The description is there, description of hellish planets, description of many other, how Yamaloka, and things are there. So that was their custom, that his family members, they were sitting and they were reading this Garuda Puran very nicely every day. So after 2-3 days, you know, when his father was talking to our this devotee, he said, now you come and stay here only with us, you know. So then he said, because he's working, he said, I'm working. So then he said, his father, he knew that he is a devotee and chanting and doing things. So father was telling, what is the use of your, you know, taking care of Krishna consciousness and this and that. He said, all these things are not, you know, important. You come here, you take care of my business, you take care of things. That is what is more important. So this devotee was telling his father, he said, father, just few minutes back we were sitting and reading about the, you know, how the material life is so futile, and the soul passes and, you know, goes to another body. Don't you understand this? He says, no, this is, who knows whether it is true or not. We are reading because it is supposed to be read, but this is not the life. Life is what, you know, our, you know. So he was like amazed to see that people, although they follow very, you know, religiously, they were sitting for hours together in a day to read that sections, but had hardly, you know, faith that actually it is true. So that's what keeps one away from actually applying to the instructions. Why? Because that understanding is not coming from disciplic succession. When it comes from disciplic succession, then people can take it to the heart. And we can see Prabhupada, you know, as an old Indian man at the age of, you know, 70, 80, is going to the foreign land where they don't even know what Krishna is. And then he's telling, so here is Krishna, who is blue in color, and he plays on his flute, and he goes herding the cows, and he is God. And you dedicate your life to him because I am also, you know, dedicating my life on the basis of Guru Parampara and scriptures. And immediately they accepted, without much questioning. Thousands. So that is the difference between hearing from an authorized source, which comes in disciplic succession, and having some understanding from here, there, some understanding from some novels, some understanding from movies, some understanding from TV serials. If there, that is what our source of knowledge is, then there is no question of gaining any transformation. So here, Prabhupada says, unless one hears them directly from a bona fide spiritual master, in the line of disciplic succession, one cannot understand them. And this word, anushruto, dhyayamano. So this anushruto, Prabhupada writes, he translates as being heard from a bona fide spiritual master. As we know that by definition, bhakti is anya abhilashita shunyam, jnana karmadi anavritam, anukulena krishna anushilanam, bhakti ruttama. So, this anushilanam and this anushruto. So, this anu word means it's not just shruto, it's not just hearing gives you actual understanding. It's anushruto. Anushruto means hearing in proper bona fide succession of spiritual master. That's what gives us proper understanding of spiritual life. Because one may have lot of eagerness or some kind of bhava for worshipping Krishna, but if it is not according to the parampara, then that cannot be considered as bhakti. Like one devotee was sharing that once he had gone to meet one very big person, brahmachari. So he had gone to meet some big donor. So when he went inside, there was like a huge palatial building, huge, as if some king is staying there. When he went inside, and to his surprise, he found that inside there was a big altar, very beautiful marble altar, and the lady in charge of that house was very nicely taking care of that deity. So then the lady said, very nice that you have come, you can please sit here, I am just, this is time for offering to my Ladli Lal, this is my dear Lord Gopal. So then, devotee was sitting there, so this lady went inside, and she made a plate, some little rice, one chapati, one little sabji. Then she put, in front of the Lord. She chanted few prayers, and then went and, sat next to this devotee and started conversing. So then the devotee said, you can close the altar, Lord is honoring. She says, no, Lord is very, this Lord is our child only. So when child is eating in home, you don't have to put child under curtain. He's eating and I am happy, and then he's also happy that I am seeing him. Don't worry. After 2 minutes, she got up, went inside the kitchen, cooked another chapati, hot, came inside and put on the plate, went inside, took little sabji, and filled the bowl, again sat. After 2 minutes, she was again going, getting hot chapati, putting there. And so devotee said, what is this? You give the whole plate. She said, no. How you eat? When you eat slowly, slowly. So I am feeding my child slowly, slowly, one chapati, hot chapatis. So this devotee was telling that this desire to serve the Lord is nice. But then, According to the scriptures, according to the definition of bhakti, if it has to come under uttama bhakti, it has to be done under proper bona fide guidance. So, devotional service based on our own mental concoction, that cannot lead one to proper purification. That form is there of devotional service, but then the substance will be missing, which is the mercy of parampara. And if that mercy of parampara is not there, then the purification, which is the actual result of devotional service and achieving love of Godhead, that will be difficult to achieve. So here, Prabhupada in the next second paragraph, he says, the contamination in the heart of a conditioned soul is like a huge accumulation of garbage created by the three modes of material nature, especially the modes of rajas and tamas. This contamination becomes manifest in the form of lusty desires and greed for material possessions. So, this lust and greed, they are like tantamount what material life is. Material life means greed for something more, material possessions, and lust to enjoy separately from Krishna, things of this world. And we can see that currently the whole population is, if you read the section of Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu, Prabhupada writes very, very nice purports how current civilization is based on this two principles of lust and greed. And it tells that Hiranyakashipu marks is like legend in that lust and greed. He is like no bhuto no bhavishyati, the kind of hero for those who are having such kind of desires. So material desires, specifically these two, that's why his name also is Hiranya and Kashipu. Hiranya means gold, greed for accumulating more and more material things. And Kashyapu means soft bed, which represents desire to enjoy in this material world. So, this Hiranya and Kashyapu, they are perfect representation of current modern civilization. And we can see that to the degree of modern means it is coming from US. That's why we see so many people are going to West. They want to go to US. Not for self-realization or they're looking for meaning of life. No. For these two things only. Lust and greed. That's what brings them to, and now the same thing is coming to India also. So when these two things are there, that is like sum total of material life. As everyone wants to be enjoyer, controller, and possessor, you want to proprietor. So these three qualities which takes a conditioned soul away from Krishna, not knowing that actual the enjoyer, possessor, and controller is Krishna, not living entity. So in case of Hiranyakashipu, we find that he was such a great accomplished in these two things of acquiring things and trying to enjoy, that no one can compare in the whole history of mankind what he achieved. He, like, now we have rains. He had so much control that he can tell rains, now stop, bahut ho gaya abhi. Or he can order that today evening, there should be some little rain, only in my garden, nowhere else. And the God of rains was folding his hands and standing there. just to satisfy all desires. Nowadays people are trying to control nature and trying to feel some kind of controllership, but that is nothing in front of what Hiranyakashipu had. Of course, that also was bliss, that also was not his own power again. That also by the blessings of Brahmaji, who is another Mahajan. So even that material power also was coming from, not by his own, it was always as a blessing. And we see that when he became so powerful, but then he was always miserable. Why? Because his small son was not, he was not able to control his small son. Can you imagine? He was able to control the biggest of the demigods, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu. All the great sages were coming and glorifying him. All the species of all the planets, they were under his subjugation. But here is one small boy who is not hearing him. Instead of chanting Om Namo Hiranyakashipu, he was chanting Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he was chanting Krishna's name, and that was intolerable for Hiranyakashipu. And then Hiranyakashipu, actually we can see that in all circumstances Prahlad Maharaj was in difficulty. He was alone, he was very weak in terms of physique, he had no support because everyone was demon, and his father was not an ordinary father. It's not that sometimes some angry father is there, somehow we deal with sometimes, but he was not just angry father, he was the king of the whole world, not only whole world, all planetary system, and so much of powers. So dealing with that kind of scenario, but still we find very peacefully Prahlad Maharaj was chanting Hare Krishna. Why? Because that power was coming from Parampara only. Because he was guided by Narad Muni even before he took birth, before he even came out of Narad Muni, this Kayadhu's womb. So there also we find that when Kayadhu was carrying Prahlad Maharaj, that time Indra along with all the demigods, they came and they stole Kayadhu, because they knew that like here is the greatest demon Hiranyakashipu, and he is creating such a, like there are chapter, one whole chapter is there, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. The one whole chapter is there, the description of what Hiranyakashipu was doing to create difficulties in the whole world. So they were so much harassed, they thought that if this mini Hiranyakashipu comes now, he will also become another Hiranyakashipu after, so they wanted to kill him. So they were taking Kayadhu, but then we see Narad Muni comes, he says, don't worry, stop. He says, great, Maha Bhagavat is residing in the womb. So here we see that they just heard from Narad Muni, and they were ready to, not just ready to stop, but ready to accept his words as it is. Because you can imagine their life was in threat, their wealth was in threat, their whole kingdom was in threat, and Narad Muni comes and he says, no, don't worry, nothing will happen. So it's very difficult to, it's very easy to doubt in that situation that, Narad Muni, you are telling, it's okay, but, we don't want to take any chance. It's like, it's a question of whole, it's like lakhs of people. We don't want to, but then they just accepted. Not with grudge. They are not telling Narad Muni, why did you come and, unnecessarily stopped us. But they accepted it as it is, and they circumambulated the womb of Kayadhu. So That shows that immediately they accepted Prahlad Maharaj as greatest Mahajan. Why? Because he was authorized by the Mahajan Narada Muni. So you can see that when someone hears from authorized source, immediately there is a development of faith. So, although they were ready to kill the son, but when they heard from Narada Muni, they agreed. Okay. And not only they agreed, they believed. And then they worshipped. We see that how the demigods used to come to offer their obeisances to the Devaki. Because they knew that Krishna is, you know, residing. Similarly, they were respectful to Kayadhu, their circumambulating. So we see the effect of, you know, hearing from authorized source. And then, when Prahlad Maharaj was sent to Gurukul to get knowledge, so-called knowledge from Shanda and Amarka, when he comes back, then we know that whole pastime of how he was telling so many things which he, you know, because Hiranyakashipu only asked a wrong question, that what you have learnt the best. So then Prahlad Maharaj has to tell what is the best. He did not tell what you learnt in maths, what you learnt in, you know, physics, chemistry. Then it have told. But he said, what is the best? So then he has to tell the truth. Then he has to tell Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. What else he will tell? But that enraged Hiranyakashipu so much that he was ready to kill his own son. If you read that description, Hiranyakashipu was very, it's like, favorably disposed to Prahlad Maharaj. You know, the description comes that he took Prahlad Maharaj, kept on his lap, and he was, you know, tears were rolling down from Hiranyakashipu's eyes. Can you imagine? Seeing his, you know, child after so many days, and he was smelling the head of, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, blessing him, showering his love. And then he asked, you know, what did you learn? But then, when Prahlad Maharaj started talking about devotional service, then he became very angry. And at one point of time, when he understood that he is not going to change, he said, kill him. So, and then he tried his best, but nothing was working. So then, because for Hiranyakashipu, there was nothing in the world which was not working. Everything was working for him. Sometimes we become frustrated, you know, we want to send some urgent mail and the net is not working. So it's like very frustrating experience. So our frustration is just, you know, it's like just some, you know, things are not working in this. You know. Or we want to have some good relationship with someone, but that is not working. So we become frustrated. Or we want to, you know, go out and then rain is there, so we become frustrated. So our frustration is very small. You can imagine the frustration of Hiranyakashipu, that everything was working exact, whatever he was wanting. All the nature was working under his direction. All the demigods were working under his direction. But then, when he saw that this small thing is not working, then he became like, you know, frustrated like anything. And in frustration he said, you know, tell Prahlad, from where you are getting this power to challenge my power? I am the greatest here. Prahlad said, my dear father, the source of my power is the same as your source of power. The only problem was, Hiranyakashipu's power source was same, but now that connection was cut. You know, it is like, the source was cut. Because he was misutilizing that powers. So it was like, you have a nice chandelier, you have a nice, you know, lighting system, but power is cut. Then it becomes useless. It becomes functionless after some time. It just become a showpiece. So, Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, it's the same power, but to the degree you are connected, you are also getting the power from the Lord only. I am also getting the power from Lord only because of that connection. So the way we are connected to the Lord through parampara, then we get all powers. As once we see when Prabhupada was going on the road, and then he saw some of dry grass. So Prabhupada was asking, his disciples, what is this? They said, this is dry grass. They said, it's dry grass, but what it means? So the disciples couldn't figure it out what Prabhupada is trying to say. So then Prabhupada only told, this is dry grass and this is green grass. The difference is, this has become dry because it has disconnected itself from its roots. Because it is disconnected from the roots, now it has no other way than to dry. So to the degree we are connected to the source, which is the source of all sources, that is Lord Krishna, through proper channel, proper parampara, then there is no question of being dry. Being dry means going back to material life. And being connected, evergreen, that means being in connection with devotional service, always. Which only can satisfy the soul. Because of that connection, he keeps getting nourishment. But in case of Hiranyakashipu, here we see that when he was cut off, that became the cause of all his frustration and even destruction also. So although this lust and greed, they are very great, unsurmountable enemy for practically everyone of us. Just leaving aside few special souls in this world, which are directly coming by the grace of the Lord. Otherwise, most of the souls are under these three modes of material nature. And then, when they are bound by these three modes, this lust and greed, that is natural for a conditioned soul. Which, very nicely represented by Hiranyakashipu. But then we can see the power of parampara. It's like the whole material civilization, as Prabhupada in his purports compares with Hiranyakashipu civilization. But then we see that whole Hiranyakashipu civilization was broken down by a small boy, 5 year boy. Why? Because of his connection, because he was getting that power from his connection to the Lord. He was directly connected to, through the instruction of Narad Muni, who was in the disciplic succession. So similarly we see that although this whole world is going chaotic, specifically in this age of Kali, and this is perfect representation of Hiranyakashipu civilization, but we see that this principle of, if someone is connected to parampara, how much power he gets, that is not only in Satyayuga, not only in Srimad Bhagavatam, only in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we see that happening everywhere, because that is the principle. Wherever we are connected to parampara, devotional service is intact, and we get a power to counteract the whole materialistic civilization, like this Hiranyakashipu civilization, however great it may be. We see America is like considered giant. All the heads of the all world, they come and bow down their head when it comes to America. But here we see this 50 years back, one old Indian, 70 years old, goes to America. It's like, you know, Hiranyakashipu was there, huge demon. It's like very amazing. Mahabhagavat in the home of Mahademon. You know, it's like, it was a very good combination. So here also we see Prabhupada also was in the Mahanagari of Mahamaya, you know, New York. He goes there, sits there in, you know, beneath one tree and just chant Hare Krishna. You know. The way Prahlad Maharaj also was going to the Gurukul, and, you know, he said, you know, my dear children of Asuras, now you please chant and dance. And then they were dancing, and then when the Chandan Amarka came, they became very alarmed. So similarly, Prabhupada also went, sat there, and told, you know, my dear, you know, Rakshasas, because that is, no, after he did not say like that, but it's like they were no, you know, better, because they were breaking all four legged principles, all the norms of, you know, any civilized human being. But then Prabhupada could transform them and broke down the, you know, the main principle of that whole civilization. He just told, he just chant Hare Krishna, everything will be, you know, purified. And then you can become very wonderful devotees. And then thousands and thousands of, you know, devotees. And it was not so easy. Because, as we see that Hiranyakashipu tried everything in his power, similarly, so many tortures our movement has gone through, specifically in, you know, Russia, or Russia, we were considered like terrorists. Huge, you know, one of the second, huge, it's like one of the largest, you know, nation that time, Russia. That whole nation was against. There were few devotees, you know, you can, you know, measure on fingers, that many devotees were there in Russia. But then they became a threat to the whole nation, and they were trying to curb down. But then what happened? That nation has gone now. It has destroyed. It has been fragmented, and then there is no Russia now, the whole previously it was. But Hare Krishna movement is going on. That is, that could never be stopped. So why it couldn't be stopped? Because there is a power coming from parampara. To the degree the power is coming from parampara, there is no question of defeat in that, you know, connection. So this is the benefit of being connected to parampara, that, and this is very nicely shown by personal example and personal pastimes of, you know, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, that how much one gets courage acting on behalf of parampara. Everything is opposite, you know, the ideologies are opposite, the people are opposite, the government is opposite, everything is opposite. But then one man can make so much difference, because if that one man is connected thoroughly to the bona fide, you know, parampara, then he gets all the powers, you know. As much, you know, Prahlad Maharaj was getting the power to challenge Hiranyakashipu. And in that way, the result also comes, as here he says, that purification of the heart. So, the victory for a sadhaka is purification of heart and glorifying the Lord and going back, you know, to the Lord. So that is achieved to the degree we are connected to the parampara. And that is eternal principle. Eternal principle means it was, you know, there at the beginning of this creation, before beginning of this creation, after the creation, 5000 years back when Bhagavatam was written, same principle. Chaitanya Charitamrita, 500 years back, same principle. If you are connected to parampara, there is all auspiciousness. When we are disconnected, then there is no other than, you know, dangerous, you know, it's like a blinded, you know, thing. Because when the connection is put off, then there is only darkness. There is no question of. So, to the degree one is, you know, connected to parampara, then we get all powers to peacefully practice Krishna consciousness, at the same time to challenge the materialistic civilization, which is now becoming, you know, bigger and bigger. Sometimes even devotees gets this question that, you know, it's like Kali Yuga is advancing so fast, really can we do something? But Bhagavatam gives a great hope. If Prahlad Maharaj can make so much difference being alone, if Prabhupada being alone can make so much difference, then anyone who connects to that same parampara can make the difference also. So, like, anyone who is following in the footsteps of our previous acharyas, Prabhupada, the victory is guaranteed. So Prabhupada, when he was in Paris, he was just about to board the plane. He was sitting in the this lobby and talking to devotees, and so many reporters had come there to interview Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was like very dynamic and very famous figure. So then they came and they were asking different questions. So one reporter was asking Prabhupada, he wanted to knew Prabhupada's previous life and things like that, because they want some masala to write in the newspaper. So that reporter was asking Prabhupada, what was your previous life before you know, became guru like this? So he said, I was a grihastha, and then after I took sannyas, and then I came here on the order of my guru. He said, oh really, how many children you had? Prabhupada looked at him, he said, thousands. So it was like, you know, very sensational for me. Immediately took out his pen and pad, he started noting down, thinking that, you know, this will be like very sensational story. A man having 1,000 children coming to West for preaching Krishna consciousness. So he was like, you know, very attentively now hearing. And then Prabhupada said, I had all these 1,000 sons without a wife. So then that was like another, you know, his whole circuit was, you know, blown off. And then he said, you can see some are sitting here also, you know. And then when Prabhupada said like that, devotees were saying, Hari Bol! So he was like looking sheepishly here, there, you know, what is going on. Afterwards he started understanding what Prabhupada is telling. So, Prabhupada was meaning that anyone who is following his orders, anyone who is following his, you know, teachings, can become his children, can become his, you know, son, can inherit the property which is awarded to us by the whole parampara, which all the great sages, all the great souls, all Mahajanas, they have received that, you know, great wealth of Krishna consciousness. And we see practically how much they could, you know, transform others' life, and we can see that how by having the same principle in our life, how we can transform our life and others' life also. So I'll stop here. Thank you for your patient hearing. And sorry for going little extra time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.